Welcome, everybody. I'm sorry for our initial confusion on the call. These days, it seems like systems are changing overnight and sometimes without notice or announcement. So we try our best to adapt. And it kind of reminds me of when I was a kid trying to play jump rope. You had to get just the right balance to get inside the rope or you get tangled on your feet. Well, today I got tangled on my feet. Sorry about that. But I'm jumping in there with you now, and we move forward. So, Tony, if you would just invite and call people in, that would be great.
Okay. Looks like we've got Jerome on the line. And if anybody else would like to get on the queue for the to add a blessing or a comment, hit *61, please.
Okay. Hi, Jerome.
Hi there, Glenda. Love and blessings, peace and joy. And
thank you.
From the universe to you. My prayers are for my family, our country, and for our Congress, because the universe is working with us, too, and our country is going through lots of things. And so light, compassion, love, peace, and joy for you and our country. And I just love you, and I thank you for everything you do.
Oh, thank you, and we love you, too. And thank you for speaking up, because your voice brightens our call every time you do.
Thank you. Love and light and peace and joy. Okay.
Love and light to you and your family and your lovely wife and your children. We bless them and all the things that we love and that we love and share in common, which includes our country, of course.
Yeah, and then the Congress meets this next week, too. Yeah, so thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, love and light. Peace and joy.
Do we have anybody else that wants to speak up?
Yes,
we'd love
like
to
you
hear
have
from
call.
You.
Looks like there's a call from area code 212.
Welcome. You may need to unmute your own phone. We can't hear you.
Hello?
Hello?
You can hear me, Glenda?
I hear you perfectly now.
Oh, okay. This is Elizabeth in New York, and I just wanted to thank you for the miracle of the rain that's come to Australia. I've asked a couple of times for prayers, and this week we got rain, which is a miracle because rain was not forecast until March, and they've had some on the East Coast. We still need more, but it's been, you know, just a wonderful blessing to get the rain that we have got already to help with the fires in Australia. Thank you from the bottom of my heart and everyone who prayed for Australia. We still need more prayers, but this has been a miracle. An absolute miracle. Mm. Thank
God
you.
God hears our prayers, and that is a testament to that fact.
Yes. Yes,
this is one of the reasons I want to hear from people, because so many times we pray and we wonder if we're just praying into thin air or if God actually hears our prayers. Here's the thing. Words don't count. Your heart is what counts. God feels your heart, because your heart sets forth, you might say a vibration. It's like a tone of music. This is why so often indigenous people will dance or play drums or sound music as they pray, because they know from their connection to the earth that every request, whether it's to the planet, to the earth, to the angels, or to our Heavenly Father, travel on a wavelength of energy. And that energy that comes from the heart is prayer. That's why Yeshua told his apostles, don't go into the streets and pray to make some public noise about it all. Don't even bother in the temple shouting and making a public noise of it. God doesn't listen to noise. God listens to our hearts. And I can say, Elizabeth, that Australia drew the heartfelt prayers of millions of people.
Yes, I know.
We love Australia. We do. It's a little bit remote from where most of the action is happening on the earth, but we love it for that reason. We love it because it is what it is. And it's so special, and the animals there are so dear to us.
Yes.
Not to mention the people, of course. Yes,
of course, but the animals are so unique.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. That's just my heart is just overflowing with joy that there's been rain. So thank you, Glenda. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Me too. You're welcome, welcome, welcome. And that's what we're here for, everybody. We're here to be a voice that makes a difference in the world. So when you come, even if you come to ask for a prayer, you make a difference. Jesus said, if you ask, you will be heard. If whatever you ask for, you will be given. But you have to ask with your heart. And it really helps to come forward in a community. Because when you come forward in a community, it causes you to have an emotional response. Everyone that comes on this call, whether it's joyful or a little sad or worried or fretting or even angry, everyone that comes and shares a voice, they bring an emotion with it. Have you noticed? Because when we're with others, that invokes an emotion. I remember so vividly my little nephew, about 3 years old, out playing on the patio, and he was not all that coordinated yet, and he was playing with his little tractor and a few other toys. And he would fall down and bump his knees and dust himself off and get up. Well, I walked out to where I could see him when he fell off his tractor and bumped his knee. And he didn't hit any harder than he did all the other times because I was watching him out the window. But with me being there, he just wailed. It was like, ah! I mean, he went into the biggest baby cry you can imagine. Why? It made a difference that I was there and I saw him. He knew I loved him. He knew I cared. And that brought forth the emotional response. This is why we come together. Because together we start making emotional responses that are loud and clear and sent to the earth and sent to the heavens and sent to our Heavenly Father. And we get a response. Okay, so what you say when you come online really does help. It really makes a difference. And there are a lot of people that are too shy to come online, but they may be sitting quietly in tears when they hear you talk. Or they may be sitting quietly and say, yeah, we've got to do something about that. They don't speak up, but they feel it, and they send forth an energy. So, Tony, is there anyone else?
Yes. Looks like this is Nancy Lopez.
Hi, Glenda. This is Nancy in Florida.
Hi, Nancy.
Hello. It's great to talk to you. And I wanted
and
to ask...
And same to you.
Thank you. I wanted to ask a special blessing for those that mourn. There are three people in the Little Unity Church that I belong to here who have lost loved ones in the last few days. A man lost his wife, a woman lost her husband, and another family lost their son. And I keep thinking about that beautiful chapter on the Beatitudes and the discussion of blessing those that mourn and comforting them and helping them to achieve acceptance. And I was hoping that you could talk a little bit about that and that all the blessing givers could hold them in prayer, hold all the people who are mourning their losses, because we have had many all around the earth recently.
Oh, yes.
If we could hold them
and
their families. And if you could talk about it a little bit, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Nancy, it's interesting you brought that up because the Beatitudes are what I have been focusing on so much this week for all, not just one, but all of them. I'll talk first about that one since you asked. But those who mourn, mourning, you see, mourning is not grieving. Let me tell you one of the big differences. Grieving is pulling into yourself with quiet anguish. It may involve tears. It may involve shouting, and but it's a private anguish that we carry around with ourselves. We are grieving and sad and withdrawn. This is what you see so many times after people have lost blessed loved ones, or they've lost a precious goal that they had been working on for years and years. There are people grieving for our country right now because it's in trouble and it isn't behaving as it was created to be. Okay.
Right.
But the grieving is what grinds us down inside. It takes away our power. Mourning, on the other hand, is the outflowing of expression that we share with others, that we invite them into our loss, that we may be supported, and that we have confidence that other people care about our loss. You know, I know for a fact, if our country went down, the whole world would mourn, because we have been a light unto the world. For 300 years, we would mourn. When 9/11 happened, the whole world mourned. They joined us. And we were not left to grieve. You see, grieving is turning inward. Mourning is receiving the compassion of other people. Do you see the difference, Nancy?
I do.
And as these people are willing to receive the compassion that's being offered to them, they will heal, because they will know that their loved ones were also loved. This is the only reason for funerals and memorial services. It's not for the one who's departed. The one who's departed is happy and bouncing around and dancing in heaven. The memorial service is to bring together those who share the loss, that in sharing it, we may be supported and we can see how much our loved ones were loved by others. That's what we really want. We want to know that when we lose someone we love, somebody else cared also. And so that's how you help someone through mourning. This is why we send flowers. This is why we make charitable donations. This is why we bring food over to the house of people who've lost their loved ones. And we spend time with them. And we cry with them. And we tell stories with them. And we get together and we tell all the joyous memories we have this is what we do, and that's mourning is a social event. Grieving is a private event.
Yes,
you see the difference.
I do, and I felt it this morning when I was hugging the man who lost his wife, and she was sick a long time, so it's hard for him to remember the happy times. And he said as she suffered, he kept losing little bits of himself in grief as she suffered, and then finally after years apparently passed. So, and I felt he really did need the support of those who truly care about him. I didn't know her, but I know him. He's a musician, a wonderful musician. He did arrangements for Gloria Estefan and others. I mean, he's wonderfully talented, and he plays the keyboard at our church, but today he was bent over with the pain of his loss as he played. He was very sad. And so I particularly hold all of them in prayer. But when he said he lost a little bit of himself over and over again, it made me truly sad. Yeah. So he needs restoration. Yeah.
And you have exactly described the healing process of mourning. That is bringing back to those who stay the bits and pieces of themselves that was lost.
Yeah.
Because we actually try to go with those who we lose. We try to go with them. And we can't. But it's okay for a while. But it's got to be brought back. We've got to be brought back to life. And restored and given back our life that we may continue to live. And then we can continue to live joyously in memory of those we love. But that's different.
It is. But today.
And go ahead.
I was just saying, but today, right now, I can see how hard it is for that person particularly. So that's why I ask all the blessing givers to help bring that beautiful comfort and the ability to accept what is and to take back the parts of themselves that they loaned to that illness and that health challenge. They've got to recover it and restore themselves and move on.
So. You have perfectly described the Beatitudes, my dear. I mean, you really are grasping it exactly the way it was intended. And thanks so much for sharing that, Nancy.
Well, thank you, and thank you for that whole chapter. It truly is one of the most beautiful chapters in the whole book.
You know, I think so, too. And one of the things I was focusing on that is especially heightened in my consciousness right now is, blessed are the merciful, for they shall see mercy.
Yeah.
We are living in times where we think that we have to go out angrily to handle a problem or an issue that we feel is destructive or hurtful or that we just simply disagree with.
Yeah.
It's not the answer.
No, it's like we're throwing separation at the fan. And
exactly.
Yeah.
What we are told over and over again is that our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, who created us all, is the judge and the only judge. We are to love one another, and we can only do that in hard times by being merciful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as we are merciful, then mercy will be given to us. And it's a little bit like Yeshua said to one man who was judging his brother. And Jesus turned to him and said, "My friend, I think you should look at the log in your eye before you judge the splinter in your brother's eye."
Mm-hmm.
And that was about in the same passage, or very similar to when he was getting into the Beatitudes and telling us to be merciful.
Mm-hmm.
Because judgment gets us nowhere. Because it isn't our job to judge. And almost always, and I have counseled thousands of people and taught more than that, when we judge, we're judging from something we've also done wrong. We're projecting most of the time. That's why Jesus said, take a look at the log in your own eye before you judge the splinter in your brother's eye.
Right.
Because we're trying to offload one of our own flaws or one of our own sins or one of our own weaknesses when we judge others.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets us nowhere. It only perpetuates the harm. So when others are judging, take a look at what they have done wrong that's similar to what they're judging or needs to be covered up by what they're judging, because that's what's really going on.
It is.
Jesus
and
said,
you know,
to love one another.
That's a real opportunity for humor. You know, we're so human, and sometimes it can be funny even though there's a sad part of it, but it's kind of amusing sometimes. But
it really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
We have to learn to laugh at ourselves.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. Well, Nancy, we are with your church family and with you. And thank you for joining in the conversation, because you brought wonderful thoughts for all of us. Tony, is there anyone else wanting to come on board?
Yeah, this is Eva, and then we also have, after Eva, about another four people currently in the queue.
Okay. All right, Eva, hi. How are you tonight?
Hi, this is Eva, and I just really related to what Nancy was saying about this friend of hers who lost his wife. And I just wanted to say something that really helped me tremendously when Charlie left me. The picture which my daughter chose for the program cover for his memorial, every time it was, of course, when he was quite a bit younger and was very vibrant at that time, and this picture just lifted me every time I looked at the picture. I had it framed, and I have it in my bedroom, and every night, or even other times if I'm in there and I see this picture, I just see him as so perfect. And it's so much easier to remember those times. And I know what it's like to have a husband that couldn't do a lot of things with me for such a long time. And it is difficult to remember the good times sometimes. So this really helped me to remember the good times that we had, and his vibrancy was there. And I just know, also from the peace that came into the whole house when he left, that this is the place he's in where there is just perfection. That just gives me strength and courage and vibrancy myself as I look at that picture. So I just thought I would pass that along in case it might be helpful.
Oh, thanks, Eva. And we're so happy that Charlie is in a better place and that you are healing.
Yes.
And that you had the wisdom to mourn instead of grieve.
Yes. I get some pamphlets from the chaplain of the hospice care, and I just got one again, and it talks about the grieving never stops. And I said, wait a minute, I don't like that. I just don't like to think that is even brought to people. Maybe it's to comfort them to think that it's okay to grieve, but I always thought like the grieving process is not what we really want.
No,
to
it's not.
Keep going on and on and on.
It's a lack of faith in God.
Yeah,
it's
I think
a lack
people
of faith
understand
in the eternal life of the soul. The soul doesn't die. And
right.
even the life of the soul that was with you during the years has not died.
Right.
That's why you can look at that picture of Charlie and see him vibrant.
And I know that that's
life,
where he is, what he
is
now, presently. So that's
mm-hmm.
a great comfort. And a much greater comfort than thinking of him the way he was in the last almost 20 years, 18.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing, Eva.
Sure.
And Tony, is it time for you to speak up?
Oh, we have Stephen and then three more people. I'll get Stephen on.
Okay, Stephen. Hi. Stephen, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Hello?
Perfectly. Hello.
Oh, good. Yes. I'm just want to say thank you so much to you and all the blessing givers, first and foremost, for all the blessing energy that is being transmitted. I'm really feeling it in huge ways in my own life. And I do want to share, too, that, I actually have been listening a lot to your lecture on the Beatitudes and conversations with Jesus, and it's been really, really profound for me. And I've, I've been going through a lot of emotional mourning, actually, further mourning around the death of my mother over 3 years ago. And, and it's been really, really healing and really powerful. I mean, I had a very close connection with her my whole life, and I went through a lot when she passed, obviously, a lot of grieving, a lot of mourning. She had Alzheimer's for probably almost 15 years, and I looked after her for the last 8 of those years. And, I feel her all the time in the One Spirit, and I know she's really, really happy. I also feel a new level of freedom, through all the emotional work that I've been doing, recently around it all. I've been able to do deeper forgiveness work, and realizing that, I need to forgive myself, before I can really adequately forgive others. Realize, like Dr. Len, the famous psychologist who, did all that Ho'oponopono work with the criminally insane and basically healed them. I really am getting on a very, very deep level that before we can really forgive others, we really have to forgive ourselves on such deep levels. And I can feel that energy coming through as I listen to your lecture on the Beatitudes, and with a contrite heart and with total humility, getting to that level of being able to forgive yourself is so powerful. It's a purification of the sacred heart that's just profound beyond belief. So I just wanted to share that. I do want to keep my sister Lisa on the list of people to receive blessings, and my good friend Shane and Vanessa, and myself in my own healing. I'm making huge strides in my own personal physical healing, as well as emotional healing. So want to thank you and all the blessing givers for all that wonderful love that you're pouring out onto the whole planet. And I want to say also, I want to give a blessing to all the homeless people, and on all the people out there who are really despondent. And, that's it. Thanks.
Absolutely. And my blessings are with you, and my prayers are with all of your requests. And we're so proud of you, Stephen. I know what you've been through, and it's been so hard. But I'm so proud of you that here you are, a shining light being the true champion that you are, and the light unto God that you are. And I think there is no greater time when we stand tall than when we kneel at the foot of God and we ask forgiveness and then forgive ourselves. There's so much I have wanted to achieve in the work that I do. And I'm sure that through me, God has achieved probably all of that and more. It's just I don't get to see it because it goes out third person, fourth person, fifth person, and seventh person. And so for me, it's a humbling experience and a faith-driven experience to just keep on showing up every Sunday, to keep on doing everything I do. You know, one bottle of Christ scent that is sent out to one person may actually anoint 20 people, and their lives are changed by it. And I don't see that, but it's okay because I feel it. And when I go into prayer and close my eyes, I see myself inside the most radiant, sparkling cross you can imagine. It's like I'm in the center of diamonds. And then out of those diamonds shine a cross of purest gold. And I know that God is showing me all the blessings that He's giving to others through me. And so I get to experience that when I pray and when I humble myself to God. But in life, I have to do just like everybody else. I get up in the morning, I get dressed, have my breakfast, and say, okay, what will I do now? And I have my list of things to do, and the whole list is combined of a mixture of ordinary things ranging from paying the bills to sending out Christ there, or calling someone to encourage them on, or praying for someone. It's a whole mixture, but it's focused on my personal life. How could it be any other way? Because I'm just a human being. But I am so happy that I've been chosen to be a vessel that pours forth the light of God to other people. And that's what we come together, all of us, on Sunday, that more of us can do that. And we are definitely going to have a live blessing seminar this spring. I'm not yet ready to announce it because I have some, situations that have to be ironed out first so that I can make a firm date and a firm commitment before that happens. But we know it's going to happen. And all of you today gave me a great idea for our next webinar. And I think we may just do that pretty soon because I've been reading the Beatitudes. That's what my calling has been lately. And I didn't put it together. But so far, three of you have brought up something about the Beatitudes. And I'm thinking, we've never done that. We've never done a webinar. We could call it The Blessed Life, and it could be from the chapter, The Blessed Life in Love Without End, but combining that with the Beatitudes of the New Testament and combining that with all the other comments and instructions that Yeshua has given to me that I passed on to you in three books, not to mention many webinars, and we put it all together, and we take a look at what's the whole picture of what he's saying here. I think there's a big revelation that's just waiting to happen. So if you agree, drop me a line, LindaGreen@gmail.com. Drop me a line and say, I'm in. I want it. Because if I think the enrollments are there, if I think everybody's ready, I'm certainly ready to do it. And I think it's something that has actually arrived at its perfect timing just because of what's been going on in the world and just because of what we need to do to heal and recover our true self and our sacred heart independently of what's going on in the world. Because the world will always be the world. But we, as children of God, need to continue our ascension up the ladder. Our ascension toward being all that we can be, who we really are, and knowing ourselves as children of God. And I think all the keys to that are in the Beatitudes, actually. And I think that's why so many people are putting their attention on it right now. Okay, well, that's my little response. And thanks, Stephen, for stimulating that. Tony, is there anyone else on the board?
Yes, we have Mara and then two other callers. I'll put Mara on now.
Okay, we're probably going to have to move with a little speed now, and I'll try not to make my comments very long.
You know what, Glenda?
What?
I have an experience that I wanted to share, and why don't I just wait till next week? Because
are you sure?
Yes, sure.
It's going to take a little time. Okay.
It's just a thank you for a suggestion you made, and that I've been working on it, but I'll tell you next time.
But you're doing good, huh?
Well, yes. As my standard saying is, given all things considered, I'm doing just fine.
Right.
Because there are all kinds of things happening, and so. Anyway, these teachings have been very, very, and the blessings are, I have no end of gratitude for the blessings. I think of them so often, and I feel great. I think they are one of the most, if not the most powerful things that is happening on this planet right now.
Oh, that's so sweet. And it's God. It's just God. That's why it's powerful. You can't credit it to me other than that I work real hard to be a good servant. But the power is God.
Yes. Okay. That, thank you all for your wonderful contributions.
You're welcome. You are so welcome, my dear. I love you so much, Mara. You're just great. You know, I just love everybody on this call. You're my family. What else can I say? I mean, really, you are my family.
Well, I
and
feel that.
I rejoice with you. I cry with you. I worry with you. But I don't worry too much because I know God's going to take care of it.
Yeah.
But momentarily, I worry with you. That's just human. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And I never did get on this silly website, so we can ask for a blessing that whatever's going on with them can be cleared up too. Tony, can you bring our other friends and family on board?
Yeah. So Sarah is next. I'm going to put Sarah on the call. And there's one.
Hi, Sarah.
Oh, aloha, Glenda, and this beloved community. I wanted to say I am definitely in. I just the other day found a note that said Beatitudes and Healing, and I just found it. I'd written it a long time ago. And I just wanted to express just so much love and appreciation for this community. And thank you, Glenda. It's such a blessing to come together each Sunday. It brings me so much light and love and healing, and I'm so grateful. And I'm just sitting here with my little kitty Fiona on my lap, and she's ready for the blessing, and I just want to bless her. I'll just look at her sometimes and tell her, Jesus loves you. And I always think of the story in Love Without End when Jesus pet your little cat, and I tell her that story, and she just smiles at me, and she just tells me right back, like, oh, I know, and Jesus loves you. And, so sweet. And I just wanted to ask for two blessings for myself and for all my brothers and sisters who can relate to these. The first is just for my home and I have just kind of financial worries, these deep ones that I'm working on healing. And so I just ask for Jesus's help for that, that I can give them to God. I get up and do my work every day, and that's all I have to do, not worry about my security. But it's a hard one. It's a deep one. So I ask for a blessing on that.
Yeah,
and then a blessing. I'm about to teach a new course.
Okay.
And it's just bringing up this really interesting, just kind of almost fears. Can I do this? And I just want a blessing that I just teach from my soul and from my heart, and that I teach in the model of the master teacher of Jesus, and that, and just to be with me as I play on the course and teach it for the first time.
Okay, sweetie. Well, you know, my comment to you and everybody is that in a changing world, we're all affected financially because, the kind of financial security that used to exist 20, 30, 40 years ago was based on the stability of predictable, demands, needs, and profit and jobs, and we had stability in terms of our way of life. With everything changing, it's going to affect us financially. So don't take it personally, and realize that you will have anxiety. We just do, because change produces anxiety. And don't take that personally either. Just let it be something that flows through you, and try to focus on the things that you can stabilize as best you can right here and now. And find the strength within you to stabilize whatever you can. Because stability, the right balance between stability and change is what produces income. So see if you can find that right balance between stability and change. Look for what you can stabilize, and then look for creative change. Turn the changes in the world into something as creative as possible. Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I think we've got one more person. Is that right, Tony?
Yep. Caller from area code 903.
Okay.
Glenda, for my first name, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Yes, for 1,000 lights that I have been, they continue to shine through the body of Ben.
Oh, that's so sweet. You are such a poet and a musician and an angel of the Lord.
Talk to you later.
See you later, Ben. Thank you for speaking up. We love to hear your voice. Okay, Tony, did you have a few words you wanted to say before we start?
Well, just thank you. And this is timed well for everybody's blessings and prayers today, because we have the moon is in about to leave Scorpio and go into Sagittarius, and it's going to trine Chiron today. We have an exact trine with Chiron It's exact in about 6 hours. So the moon with Chiron, it's a state of being that's conducive to deep healing, soul healing. So we can put our.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that's a blessing for all our brothers and sisters around the world as well.
That's great. Okay. Good to hear. Well, Tony, if you will mute our call, I will just let's get the background noise down to where we don't hear birdies singing or microwave beeping. And let us begin. Everybody just get relaxed. Let the cares of the world go away, because the soul is not part of the cares of the world. The soul submitted itself temporarily to be here and lift the world up. And at times it's a challenge doing that. At times it sinks down and worries about whether it will get above water again or be able to breathe without a breathing tube. Sometimes I feel like I have a snorkel in my mouth with a little tube reaching above water because I can't see it. But when we stay connected to our Heavenly Father, we can always breathe. We don't always have the answers, but we can always breathe. And we know that the one who created us has a plan, and we are part of that plan. The one who created us is nothing but the purest love and goodness. And as that plan unfolds, so will goodness unfold in our life. We don't always understand the process, and sometimes we become anxious about what we're going through. But just before the grass dies from a drought, the good Lord will send rain, and it comes right back. And we know that probably the water was needed somewhere else more. And so we had to wait. But our lives will be nourished by our faith. And sometimes we do have to wait. But waiting can be an opportunity for self-examination. Waiting can be an opportunity for finding the peace within that doesn't have to take on a new situation, because even goodness that comes takes us back into work. The rain comes, the crops grow, and now we have to harvest. But while we wait, we can think, we can feel, we can receive. So there's a blessing in waiting. And many times in the Bible, it's said so frequently, I think it could almost be viewed as another beatitude. We are told that those who wait on the Lord are blessed. It isn't in one of the beatitudes that were spoken on the Mount, but the apostles spoke it so many times. I really believe that Yeshua must have taught it to them, because I think you can imagine in those days needing to see redemption and change and relief from oppression must have been a terrible anxiety. They must have been terribly impatient to see results. And I can only imagine how many times he had to tell John, Mark, Luke, Matthew, Barnabas, all of them, wait. For waiting on the Lord is a way of preparing yourself to receive all the other blessings that come. Because they repeated waiting on the Lord so many times. So don't be impatient to receive your blessing. Ask for your blessing in prayer. And then be silent to receive. And then continue to be open for receiving. And watch and look and wait for it will come. It will come. Now let us begin. Just be comfortable. Breathe deeply. If you can, feet on the ground to receive from the earth. Blessing givers, stand with me. And have your head uncovered unless it's a matter of faith to cover your head. But if you cover it, if you must cover it, make sure it's with a natural fiber, such as cotton, wool, silk, or such, linen, not with a synthetic. And as light as possible. You might even think about finding a special head covering for the blessing, sort of like gauze, that is pure cotton but open weave. And that would be a lovely thing to just acquire for yourself, only for times of blessing. Now, I will be with Jesus, our brother, blessed Yeshua. Thank you for teaching us, being with us in our hard times, in our impatience, in our suffering, in our doubts, but leading us also into our light and our joy, that we may discover the soul that we are, even here on earth, in the midst of worldly situations. We thank you for bringing exceptional solutions that are probably not in the order of time. You make an exception so many times for us to help us out so that we don't get lost in the process of just working through the ways of the world when we feel we would never get there if that was our destiny. You have made exceptions for those who pray. You have extended your love and your heart for those who care. You have brought joy to those who grieve. And you have helped them through their mourning. You have taken those who hurt and relieved their suffering, whether on earth or carrying them up to heaven where they have no pain at all. You have heard our prayers. You have never left us. And our faith rejoices in love for you. In spirit, we are in love with you. We praise you. We hold you in our hearts. And we bring ourselves to you, sitting at your feet, ready to learn everything you have to teach, ready to be all that you hope us to be and said that we could be. And we grow every day in your light, that we may become better and better in the service of God, in becoming fully complete as children of God. We ask now that you hear our prayers. And we know that you will do whatever is right and appropriate to respond to our prayers for both solutions and teaching. With you in our heart, we say amen. Blessing givers, let us begin. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now go and rest and finish receiving and continue to receive all through the days of this week and in the future. For the blessings will not end. Just continue receiving. Bye-bye for now. We wish you a very happy week. And I look forward to being with you again next Sunday.